Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com and sign up for the Trigator app and budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. All right, so let's take just a minute and review what we've been talking about a bit this week. We've been talking about what we call picnic errors. And picnic is an acronym for problem in chair, not in computer. And we started out the week talking about how the problem that a lot of us have are things that we're doing, not the problem in the budget. And we compared it to this picnic error because a computer, whatever you tell the computer to do, it's going to do. And that's how your money works. Whatever you tell it to do, your money is going to do. We talked earlier that if you tell your money to go and pay your rent, it's going to pay your rent. If you tell your money to go out and eat at a restaurant, it's going to eat at the restaurant. So whatever you command that money to do, whatever you tell your troops to go out to do, your money troops, it's going to follow those orders exactly. So the problem isn't necessarily in the budget. It's that you're not commanding it the way that you should. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about the wrong money program. This is the third picnic error that we're going to be covering. And what do I mean by the wrong money program? Well, all of us have this mindset around money, and it's based on whether it's our upbringing or experiences that we've had with money or different things that cause us to have a certain thought process around how money works and what we do. And I want to focus on two kind of wrong money programs that we have in our minds that we need to get over to be able to have a successful budget. And the first one is that budgets don't work. There's a lot of people out there that just say, oh, I've tried to budget, I've tried to put a plan together, and it just doesn't work. No matter what I do, my budget doesn't work, there's something that breaks it, they just don't work. And we need to rewire our thinking on that because budgets do work. All that a budget is it's a plan. You're basically saying, here's where my money is going to go. And you're the one that's in control of telling it where it's going to go. It's not up to anyone else but you. And as soon as we can figure out that it's not the budget that won't work, it's that we need to change our thinking on how to make the budgets work, okay? And the way that we get budgets to work is really down to just simple math, okay? There is a finite amount of income that you're going to receive, and you need to assign each dollar that comes in to something going out, or into savings, or into an alligator fund that we've talked a little bit about alligators, or into a savings fund, or to pay off a debt. All of the money that comes in needs to be assigned. And that's really all it is it's that simple math. And at the end of your budget, there's three possibilities. Number one, you have extra money. Number two, you have zero. Or number three, you don't have enough. And that's all that it is. There's not another possibility in there for your budget. It's going to be one of those three things. Either I have more money than I planned for, I have exactly zero, or I'm short. So what we want to do is when we look at our budget, the goal is to have that zero number. Okay? We want to have every dollar have a name. Okay? We've talked a little bit about how you're the general over your money. Whatever you command them to do, they are going to do. All right? And we've also discussed a little about building your financial house. And that is going to be the framework that you're going to use to determine how your money is going to be spent. And as you follow that framework of the financial house, you'll be able to see the progress that you need to make. And sometimes it does hurt a little bit when we start budgeting because there may be things that we're spending that we shouldn't maybe be spending so much on. And one of the big problems that makes budgets not work is that people aren't being realistic, okay? They put themselves on a budget that they think is the ideal. It's kind of like going on a diet. If you go on a diet and you say, all right, starting today, I am going to eat 100% healthy, and prior to that, you've been living off of burgers and fries forever, your diet's not going to last very long. You're not going to be in that habit of flexing that diet muscle to be able to eat that healthy food all the time. You need to be able to set a realistic expectation for yourself with your diet to say, okay, we're going to replace this with this, or we're going to change things up. And you work your way into that healthy lifestyle. And sometimes it's even just a matter of looking at what you are eating and then being able to make the change. So, like, for example, continuing with this idea of a diet, let's say that you decide, okay, I want to start a diet. You start out by saying, how many calories am I eating a day? And when you figure it out and you actually add it up, you look and you say, whoa, I'm eating 3,000 calories a day. That's way too much. I need to cut 1,000 calories out so that I can maintain a 2,000 calorie diet. Well, the same concept goes on with our budget. To set that realistic expectation, you've really got to know where you are starting now. And what I recommend is you go, and this is great that you can do this with online banking. You can usually go onto your bank and you can pull anywhere from 1 to 2 years of financial transactions. And when I was first trying to get my financial life under control, I went out and I actually pulled 3 years of spending. And I was looking and I said, okay, how much am I spending each month on fast food? How much am I spending on shopping? How much am I spending on shoes? How much am I spending on clothing? How much am I spending? I went through every line item of that spending and I said, what am I spending right now? Again, going to our example of the diet, what am I eating right now? So then I looked at that spending and I said, okay, I am spending way too much on fast food. I do not need to eat out this much. And sometimes just seeing that number of what you are spending right now, it'll give you that wake-up call that you need to be able to go, wait a second, that's why my budget's not working. I'm spending $2,000 on fast food every month. Now, I am being a little exaggerant there, but you know, you get the idea that if you see that number, you'll suddenly realize, hey, I'm spending way too much on this item. And what you want to do at that point is say, okay, what is a realistic number that I should be spending? And it's possible it should be zero. It's totally possible that there's things in your budget that you say, you know what? I shouldn't be throwing my money into this. This is just a waste of money. I can do better things with it. There's also things that you say, oh, I enjoy doing a little bit of this and, you know, we're gonna keep it going. There are also things that, oddly enough, you're not spending enough on. For example, we talked about in the third level of your financial house that you want to protect your family. You want to make sure that you're having enough money on those basic needs that you're able to protect your family. Also, a part of protecting your family is maintaining their financial well-being. So you could look at things like life insurance as a need that you may be not spending enough to get a nice good term life insurance policy. You may not be spending enough on your health care. Maybe you have some health issues that, you know, you need to up what you're putting towards your medical bills so you can maintain good health. There's all kinds of different things that you may not be spending enough on. And so being realistic and looking and saying, okay, I need to find that perfect balance of where I need my spending to be. If you are spending a lot of money on eating out and you're trying to go to zero, I would applaud you for trying. But you're going to get stuck into budgeting may not work. It's because you're into habits of spending money in a certain way. But you'll eventually get closer and closer and closer to that perfection and that sweet zone where your budget is exactly where it needs to be. Make sure that you're being realistic and that you're following the simple math. There are scenarios where there's just not enough money coming in. You can't cut any more spending. You are down to the bare minimum and you're not having enough money coming in. And really, there's only one solution to that. You need to generate more. You need to bring more money on that side of the equation. It's not going to magically happen. It's not going to be, I need more money and it's suddenly there. I wish that was the case, but it's not. You need to determine how you can increase that side of the equal sign, okay? And there's a couple of ways to do that. You can look at doing gig jobs as an additional way of income. I know when I was first starting out and trying to build my financial house, I drove for ride shares. I did food delivery. I was working as a waiter at one point for for several years. I did all of these different things to increase that side of the equal sign so that I was able to meet all of my expenses and use that also for my debt snowball so that I could get out of debt even faster. So there's nothing wrong with bringing on a gig job or a side hustle or something like that when you have a purpose behind it. Make sure that you're maintaining that purpose and that focus of keeping that balanced budget. So what's another wrong money program item? And I've heard people say this, that my budgets just ruin my fun. I can't do fun stuff if I'm on a budget. Usually when people say that, it's because when they were growing up, their parents said, it's not in the budget, or we can't afford it, or things like that. And it kind of buried into their heads that budgets are restrictive and that budgets are something that you use to basically say we can't spend money. And that's not at all what a budget is. We need to get that thought process out of our heads. Let me tell you a little story. I have a friend who loves socks. That's just his thing. He absolutely loves socks. He has more socks than I think anyone I know. And I'm not talking just a pair of white socks or black socks. He has those socks that, you know, the toes go into individual little toe holes and they're multicolored. And he has ones that he bought as a pair but don't match, and just every kind of sock that you can imagine. And he loves having socks. And if he went and says, okay, I want to write a budget, and he says, all right, I'm not going to spend any money except on Walmart regular bland socks. Well, yeah, is that ruining his fun? A little bit. Is it also not realistic? You betcha it's not realistic. So what we need to do, again, is find that zone of how much is appropriate to spend. And for him, he was able to set a sock budget. And as long as he stayed within that sock budget, it didn't ruin his fun. He was still able to go buy fun socks. He didn't buy them as many as he did before, because when he did that exercise I talked about before where you add up how much you're spending, he was quite shocked at how much he was spending on socks every month. And he said, oh, I can probably tone that down a little bit. And he still was able to have his fun, and he found that middle zone where he was able to meet all of his obligations and have some of that fun with his sock money. I have another friend who, they love going on cruises, and they said to me, Nate, a budget's not going to work if I don't have cruise money. So we built a plan together. We said, okay, how many cruises do you need to take a year? I said, well, just one, really. I mean, yeah, one would be nice. And I said, okay, how much do you spend on your cruise? And they came up with the amount, and they said, okay, we're going to put away into a cruise fund. And that's going to be just part of your monthly budget. You're going to say, okay, this is our cruise fund. This goes in. And it was actually turned into an exciting thing for them, because it's like, oh, we're one step closer to our cruise. One, two steps. Here we go. And as that money grew, they were really, really happy. And they were able to keep into their budget and maintain all of their spending that they needed, as well as save a little bit of that money towards a cruise every month. So we need to get past that idea that budgets ruin my fun, because really a budget, as we've talked about, is just you telling your money where it's going to go. So to summarize, two things that you need to change in your mindset is that budgets don't work because they do work. And if you follow them and you put a plan together and you set every dollar to have a name, it's going to work the way that you set it to go. And if you say budgets aren't restrictive because I get to choose where that money goes, you're going to be able to change that mindset. And then budgeting suddenly becomes a little bit easier in your mind, and it helps you to move forward with a plan that actually will work. All right, let's switch over and answer a few questions. Now, you can submit your questions to me at podcast@tregator.com. We'd love to hear from you and be able to answer your questions. So our first question comes from Sherry. She says, my husband and I are trying not to spend as much money, and one of the things that we are looking to save on is our date nights. We like to have a date night once a week. Any ideas on how we can save money on date night? Yeah, you're right that when you do that, when you add up babysitter plus dinner plus movie, all of those things, date night can get pretty pricey. That's for sure. And I'm going to answer this question, I'm going to bring in something that my wife did for me that I absolutely loved. One year for my birthday, she gave me a stack of envelopes and a jar. And you may be thinking, what's so fun about envelopes and a jar? Well, the envelopes each one of them had a date night for every month for the rest of the year or for the next year. And they, some of them were simple things like a picnic and a hike and just some little fun ideas so that we could once a month have a very simple date. Some of them in there, though, because she had saved up the money, were quite, really quite wonderful. One of them was a carriage ride in the wintertime to see all the Christmas lights. It was really, really fun. And the way that we saved money on date night was we pre-planned and we set up an idea of what we could do as kind of a bigger date once a month. And that brings us to what the jar was. The jar that she gave me had mini dates in it. And they were all rolled up on a little piece of paper, and there were probably about 30 of these little pieces of paper in there. And in there, in with the rolled up piece of paper, if there was any money that needed to be spent, was rolled up dollar bills. So what we would do is we would draw out of this jar a date night idea for a really simple idea. And one of them that we pulled out, it was a shake night. And I unrolled it and there was a couple of bucks there, and we went and we had ice cream and just had a fun little date night where we went out and had some shakes. And so there's plenty of ideas out there as long as you're saving for them and planning ahead. Where you're going to run into trouble with date night is if you wake up and say, all right, it's date night. What are we going to do? How are we going to afford it? Well, we're going to dip into our savings. Well, we're going to put it on a credit card. That's where you're going to run into the problem. If you're planning for it and you're determining, okay, this is our mini date night and this is our big date night, then you can kind of help save some money. So I hope that helps. That was a really fun idea that I enjoyed that my wife did for me. Our next question is from Aaron. He says, my 19-year-old son just got a job. His first paycheck was $1,100. Within 3 days, he had spent all but about $200. That sounds about right for a 19-year-old. I told him he should save, but of course he didn't. I tried to tell him he needs to pay us back for a few things that we did for him to the tune of $500. He didn't. All of his money goes to Xbox stuff, but we want him to learn how to save and budget. Any ideas? This is a really, really hard one because at that age, they're of course spreading their wings. They're starting to get out from under mom and dad's thumb. They feel, okay, I'm over 18. I'm an adult. I get to make my own decisions. And so that makes it really, really hard. A couple of ideas that I would throw your way is to start out. I like that you said he needs to pay you back to the tune of $500 for some things. Maybe take that onto a little bit bigger level and say, all right, you have a job. You need to start taking care of things. I would ask you, you didn't mention here, but who's paying for his car insurance? Is he paying for it or are you? Who's paying for his car? Who's paying for any of the activities that he's doing? Who's paying for his food? All of these things are things that he should now be chipping in with. And I think if you can put a little of that responsibility on him and say, you know what, help us out with some of the food budget, pay us a little bit of rent for your stay, that will help him to learn that responsibility and start setting up that budgeting. Now, it's going to be a tough conversation, especially because he says, oh, mom, I'm still living in your house, da, 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 you know, and things like that. But I think that putting that little bit of a responsibility on him is going to help him to learn that he needs to budget. All right. Good luck with that, Aaron. That's going to be a tough conversation, but I think you can do it. Our last question today comes from Will. He says, any tips on how to negotiate the price of a vehicle? Every time I try, they always say there is no room to budge and is already discounted as much as they can. Okay. The key behind any negotiation is who has the power, basically. Okay. And there's a basic economic principle that's going to go on with your negotiation. If you're going in, let's say, to a dealership and you're trying to buy a hot car, something that the car that everyone wants. As an example, I'll use several years ago, my parents bought a Prius back when gas prices were way, way high. And it was at the time when everyone wanted a Prius. And if you wanted a Prius, you had to get on a wait list. The dealerships were charging more than the cars were worth because they could sell them for that. And so if you're going in and looking to get a Prius when they're really, really hot, you're not going to have any negotiating power. The dealership is going to have all of the power on that side of it. Now, if you're going in and you're looking for a car that is maybe a used vehicle that they want to get off of their lot, they're just trying to get as much money as they can out of it because it was a trade-in vehicle and they just want it gone so that they can refill their lot, then you have a little bit more power. And what's great is with the internet and with the technology that we have, you can walk in very well equipped on how much that vehicle is actually worth. And you know what the blue book is, and you know how much you can spend on that. Okay. And the biggest negotiating tactic that you have is the ability to walk away. If you're sitting down with the dealership and you're looking at a car that's not a really popular car that everyone wants and they something that they really want to move, and you just go, I got to think about it. I'll maybe come back tomorrow. You'll see how fast that price suddenly goes down. And then if it goes down a little bit and they say, and you go, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, I think I still need to go and think about it. They're going to do everything they can to keep you in that seat. And your ability to walk away is what's going to give you the most negotiating power in that scenario. But again, you have to be going after that vehicle that is not the latest, hottest thing that everyone wants. If you're going to go into a Tesla dealership right now, you're not going to be able to have much negotiating power. So I hope that helps. The biggest thing, though, find that piece that you're able to negotiate on and go from there. All right. So again, please submit your questions over to podcast@tregator.com. We would love to hear from you. And just to recap, we wanted to talk a little bit today about resetting some of the mindset issues that maybe exist and changing your money program so that you can realize that budgets do work and that budgets don't, they're not restrictive. They do exactly what you tell them to do. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tregator podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Tregator. Go to Tregator.com and sign up for the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. Again, you do get a free trial if you go out to Tregator. There is a link right here on this podcast player to go out and sign up. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode of the Tregator podcast. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks and have a good one.